TUC Radio, Time of Useful Consciousness. Vandana Shiva's celebration of Gandhi's home rule. It was extraordinary to hear the world-renowned philosopher, physicist, environmental activist and eco-feminist, Dr. Vandana Shiva speak in a small former logging town in Northern California. The Little Lake Grange in Willits, living symbol of the 150-year-old national self-organization of Grange farmers, was filled to capacity. They were third-generation elder ranchers and members of the emerging new movement of young farmers, and many young and old who are participating in the projects for Willits economic localization. Much of that is focused on food growing, local industry, and alternative energy, but also on local stewardship for the rivers and forests in the county. The audience included veterans of literally decades of fierce opposition to, and even some victories over past and current permissive California state rules on logging and the use of toxins on land and water. In part one of her talk, Vandana Shiva spoke about Gandhi's home rule. Gandhi discovered that resistance against British rule would take its strength from combining literally thousands of local efforts. Today, home rule is an element of living history within the many successful efforts of localization. So here's the great hall of the Willits Grange, ceiling fans turning slowly, back doors open to the summer night, and neighborhood dogs trying to get inside. In a moment, you will notice the voices of children mixed in with the comments and cheers from the audience. A reminder who ultimately will benefit from localization, organic food, and the urgently needed restrictions on corporate rule. Dr. Vandana Shiva.
I've worked now 30 years on issues of agriculture. It isn't the subject I chose. I mean, I was passionate about physics. I studied quantum theory, and I mean, even to now, you know, sometimes see a paper, I get nostalgic, but then I say, no. The earth needs your service. And over 30 years, I have found that every claim of industrial agriculture is a false claim. It begins with saying we produce more food. Industrial agriculture has never produced more food because it never produces food in the first place. It produces commodities for trading, and commodities don't nourish us. And because commodities don't nourish us, they end up actually destroying our health, which is why there's such an epidemic of food-related diseases. And because the US had had the longest period of commercial use of GMOs, if you were to take new disease epidemics, new, the highest are in this country. Literally, the freedom of corporations like Monsanto to make profits is at the cost of our children to be healthy. It's at the cost of the planet's health. And the price is becoming too heavy. You know, I don't mind giving a little concession, say, okay, some profits, all right. But these are obscene profits because they are being extracted through processes of ecocide when it comes to the planet and genocide when it comes to people. Ecocide basically means the crime of destroying ecosystems, species, the soil, the atmosphere. Wherever BT crops or Roundup Ready crops are used, the soils are dying. Wherever they are used, pollinators are dying. the Roundup ready use killing the milkweed, which is where the monarch butterfly nests, that evidence is out. But long ago in Cornell, there was a study where they fed the monarch larvae GM corn pollen and non-GM pollen. The larvae that ate the non-GM pollen did fine. All the butterflies that were fed the BT corn larvae died. Early studies were showing us this. Destruction of diversity of species at every level, within the soil, above the soil, plants, beneficial insects. Pesticides had begun the problem. And I, in fact, prefer to call GMOs poison-producing plants. You know, they have an organization. The poison industry has an organization called Crop Life. Literally. And it's this association that threatened Michelle Obama when she started an organic garden in the White House. They wrote to President Obama and said, this is sending a bad message. So ecocide is there in every study that we're seeing, but not just studies, indicators. I mean, look at what's happened to Argentina. Look at what's happened to Brazil. My country, the only crop they managed to push through was a cotton, BT cotton. There is not a single pollinator in the BT cotton plant. Not one. We're doing a study on the soil. The bacterium population is 250% less than the organic. And it's declining. Every year it's declining. Why do I call it a genocide? I call it a genocide because never before have seeds been the reason of wiping out hundreds of thousands of farmers. Seeds have been the source of life. Every culture has said you've got to save the seed. You've got to save the seed so that the future is guaranteed. And there's a very famous story from the history of my region. I come from the Himalaya, from Doon Valley. I was born there, I've returned there to do this work, start the farm, start the Earth University, and in fact I've left my colleagues. We have 50 participants studying agroecology and organic farming right now. I've left them to be with you because I just feel so deeply that what you do in California is significant for the US and for the world just now. In our area in Dehradun, we have replanted diversity. We grow more than 2,000 crop varieties that we've saved. We've created 120 community seed banks. We call them community because we believe seed is a commons. And in this region, in the 1815, when the British came and there were wars and the typical things that happen, people in the villages died of hunger. And yet, in every home, you know these squashes that you have? The squashes are used as seed containers in the high mountains. They're called tomris. Every tomri was full. People did not touch the seed. Because to destroy seed is sin. And now there's a deliberate destruction of seed. There's a deliberate destruction of seed by creating seeds that don't renew. Monsanto bought up Delta and Pineland, which had the patent on the Terminator technology to create sterile seeds. But even otherwise, I'm right now fighting a whole attempt to introduce a GMO mustard, which is using genes for sterility. Seed is the very symbol of fertility. And it has to be hubris to try and induce sterility. But there's also the prevention of renewal of seed through law by criminalizing seed saving. Now, when all of this comes together, seed that has always been the basis of our food, the basis of our farming, is both becoming the danger to our food and the danger to farming. So when Monsanto entered India,
what year was that?
The first trial started in 1998. They brought in the BT cotton for experiments in 95. 98 they started field trials. And you know, they are so arrogant, they put full page ads in the Indian newspapers saying next year Indian farmers will be getting Bolgard, which is the trade name of their BT cotton. I read this, I rang up our environment ministry, I said, did they get approval? They said, no. I rang up our agriculture ministry, I said, did they get your approval? No. So I filed a case in the Supreme Court, they were stopped. But then, of course, you know, they were stopped for 4 years. By then they find, you know, we'll bribe so-and-so official and that minister. And they managed to lubricate the machinery, very much like they lubricate the machinery in Washington, D.C. You know, I have watched over all of these years, officials in Washington don't change. It could be Democrats, it could be Republicans. It could be Bush, it could be Obama. The same people stay. The same Michael Taylors, the same people. There was, of course, this term of revolving draw, you know, Monsanto and back. But now they don't even have to revolve. They just sit. They feel so confident that no one can touch them. So eventually, when Monsanto did start to commercialize, they increased the price of cotton seed 80,000%. Now, you know, farmers don't have that kind of money, so they're given the seed on credit. And usually, you know, the local seed agent, who's the agent of Monsanto, say, just put your signature here. And then they fill in the rest, it's against land. 3 years later, they come and say, you haven't paid, so your land is now ours. That's the day for farmer will quietly go to his field. Our Indian farmers, the land is the mother. And the idea that that land is being taken away, that day they go to the field, drink pesticide, go to the moneylender the last time, to the agent of the pesticide and seeds, last time to borrow, but now for pesticide only, and drink it. And every case I know, the widow is informed by someone who saw the farmer's body in the field. A cotton seed, BT, non-BT looks the same. The poor wife had no idea they were getting into debt till the husband takes his life. You know what the number of farmer suicides in India are since Monsanto entered our seed supply? 300,000 now. 300,000. Now, I call that a genocide because it's deliberate. According to the United Nations, harm caused to a group of people by another group is genocide. Deliberate harm. Usually it's recognized in the context of ethnic cleansing, but this is a kind of ethnic cleansing if you think of small farmers as an ethnic group. They are a community of small farmers whose most important vocation is to serve the earth, protect the soil, save the seed, bring us good food. In my view, nobody else plays so many vital roles for the planet and for society as small farmers do. And that's why I've dedicated my life to protecting seeds on the one hand and serving small farmers on the other, including changing this bias that small farmers are a species that can be allowed to disappear. That somehow food will come from anonymous sources about which we don't have to think. I've had debates with biotech industry representatives who said, but Dr. Shiva, get used to the fact we'll be eating pills. I said, no, don't say we, say you. I want real food from real soil, real hands, real seed. And I'm going to do everything to keep that option alive. But there's another dimension to genocide. Because I think deliberate harm to future generations. I'm a member of a council called the World Future Council. And we got together because the future was totally being ignored. And future generations were being ignored. Their rights were being ignored. I come from a culture just like the Native American culture, which thought in terms of the seventh generation. We said, whatever you do, think of the seventh generation to come. If what you do will benefit them, take that action. If it'll harm them, seven generations down the line, don't. Now, that's the reason we had sustainable societies. These days, politicians think in four-year terms. Corporations think in three-month terms. The financial world thinks in seconds. The blip on the risks of the graphs that go up and down. You know, if there's an attention deficit disorder, it's in the economic system. They can't pay attention. They definitely cannot pay attention to the future. So if, on the one hand, you look at the farmers of India and 300,000 suicides, and then you look at the children of this country and their health, that too is a genocide. Monsanto knew in 1985 that glyphosate is a carcinogen. And now when the WHO announced it, they tried to pounce on the WHO because they got used to pouncing on so many scientists and putting pressure to get papers retracted, scientists fired. I could go on and on about all my friends who've lost jobs. The only reason I haven't, I gave it up voluntarily in 1982. There's nothing they can take away from me. So knowingly, they have caused harm. I'll give you a very simple example. They always say Roundup can't affect human beings because we don't have something called the shikimate pathway, which is what plants have and bacteria have. And it's because the plants have it, when they spray Roundup, it disrupts that pathway and it kills the plant. That's how it works as a herbicide. What they ignore or deliberately don't tell us is this human body is 600 trillion cells, most of which are bacteria. Only 600 million are human. All those cells in our gut are getting knocked out with glyphosate residues. And if you look at the inflammatory diseases, the intestinal disorders, the fact that it's the bacteria in the gut that produce the enzymes that help the neurotransmitters, when you realize that the gut and the brain is connected, they are stealing our brains. Yes, they are. This deliberate harm with full knowledge is a crime. We are organizing to put all of these different strands together because I think people should know how severe the crimes against nature and humanity are. And for anyone who thinks their little action in their local community is insignificant, we live in an interconnected world. And in an interconnected world, it doesn't matter where you begin the change. The change ripples through the web. That's the beauty of a web. And in the web of life, it is only the local where positive action will take place. Exactly. For three reasons. First, life is local. You know, even the amazing hydrological cycle of this planet, it begins with little droplets. The clouds are formed with little droplets. The oceans are formed with little droplets. Our relationship with the Earth can only be local. Astronauts can get impressed with the picture of the blue Earth. But they can't serve it. They can't go put organic matter in that soil from their spaceship. Just as much as you can only take care of your children when you're actually there. Though they are, of course, doing a lot of IT innovation to keep track of what's happening to your baby you left behind in the crib while you went to watch a movie. You know, you got a camera, you got this, you got that. And there is the next step of Monsanto insanity is they really think we are going to give up our relationships of love, our relationships of care, for their control of data. Because all of their herbicide tolerance failed, the BT toxin has failed, nothing's working for them. Which is why they tried to buy Syngenta and that failed. Then they started to buy data. So they bought the climate data, soil data, and they're planting articles in newspapers. Big data means big brain. Just like Monsanto doesn't have a brain, as I said. In fact, big data means no brain. We did a lovely manifesto from this commission in Tuscany that I chair, and we called it the Knowledge Manifesto. And we wrote it in 2008 at the peak of the financial crisis. And how is it that we've reached the stage where things are going so wrong and we can't make correction? And in that, we have a whole section on information obesity. And just like, you know, too much salt, too much sugar, too much wrong fat, not very good for our body. Obese body is not a healthy body. Obesity of information is not more knowledge and definitely not more wisdom. And we need more knowledge and we need more wisdom. And we need all of this with the ability to act in order to make everything better for our communities, for the earth, for our neighbors. And what you started here in Mendocino with a GMO-free and now you're taking it to the chart, it's become so relevant because the California government is trying so hard to make life easy for Monsanto. Your charter needs to correct that. I had suggested that, you know, go exchange seed 3.1 miles and you all did it, you know? But do it again. Just going 3.1, 3.5, 5, 10, whatever, wherever, exchange seeds. And send messages to the people in Sacramento. Come and receive the seeds from us. And this is so important. This is why your county charter is so important. Clause 4 says, the bill would also prohibit a city, county, district, including a charter city or county, from adopting or enforcing an ordinance on or after January the 1st, 2015, that regulates plants, crops, seeds without consent of the secretary. They're trying to take away your freedom. Just as much as the DARC Act, the denial to the Americans of the right to know, is trying to take away the freedoms that have been exercised by the state of Vermont, which passed a law on labeling. Or Hawaii, County of Maui, which said, we won't have GMOs. So they're going to higher level to preempt and take away the powers at local levels that are enshrined in constitutions. Monsanto can only sell GMOs by destroying constitutions. So if one big illusion was, we produce food and solve the problem of hunger, the second big illusion is we breed better seeds. The best seeds have been bred either by farmers or public institutions, both of which were guided by the values of serving the public good, maintaining enriching diversity, enhancing the taste, quality, nourishment of food, and creating resilience. That's the kind of work we do in Navdanya. We do participatory breeding. We do now with a very famous Italian scientist who worked in Syria for years. We do evolutionary breeding. Because with such rapid climate change, it's the intelligence of the seed that has to guide us to adaptation. We save seeds that are adapted. Seeds that can tolerate salt, seeds that can tolerate floods or drought. So another dimension of GMOs is it cannot exist without piracy. Yes. Cannot exist without piracy from nature or farmers. Our task is given to us. Our task is to protect the diversity of the earth, of our seeds, to create local food system. There's not a country where globalization has improved food security. Not a country. It has taken food security away. Countries that were producers of food are now importers of food. Mexico, that had enough corn, is today importing corn. And they're fighting the GMO corn of Monsanto. Because for them, they are corn. They are the people of corn. They are the culture of corn. We know that the only food that's real food comes from the soil we know and a community we know. So we have to create food communities. And localization has to be the future of food system. Globalization can be a short-term future of food commodities, which bring profits to Monsanto for seed, Cargill for trade, Kellogg's and the others, who all joined up to undo your labeling mallet. You know, you want to know who's messing up the food system, they're all there in a list. They made it easy for you. They said, we are messing up. Now all we have to tell them is keep out. The earth has the capacity, we have the capacity, through our local democracy, to create the kind of food systems that serve the earth and serve us and the future. Thank you.
That was the conclusion of an hour-long talk by the Indian ecologist, philosopher, and seed saver Vandana Shiva. She co-founded and leads Navdanya, which promotes seed saving and organic farming and has more than 70,000 farmer members. Vandana Shiva has served as an advisor to governments in India and abroad, as well as to NGOs, including the International Forum on Globalization. In 1993, she received the Right Livelihood Award, also known as the Alternative Nobel Prize. Vandana Shiva wrote many books, among them Soil Not Oil and Stolen Harvest. You can hear this talk as well as part one for free on TUC Radio's website, tucradio.org. Open the newest programs page and scroll down. This program was produced off the grid with solar power. TUC Radio is free to all radio stations and free as podcast online. This is an unfunded program that depends entirely on donations by listeners. You can contact TUC Radio online at tucradio.org. The email is tuc@tucradio.org. Time of useful consciousness is an aeronautical term. It's the time between the beginning of oxygen deficiency and the loss of consciousness. Time for useful projects to rescue the planet and the plane. My name is Maria Gelarden. Thank you for listening.